All right, we're continuing through the book of Matthew. We're here in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be talking about the topic of judging here in these first five verses. And so we're here in Matthew 7, verse 1, and the Bible says here, "Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged." You know, several years ago, my sister told me that this verse had replaced John 3:16 as being the most famous and most quoted verse in the entire Bible. And it's like, it just shows you a sign of the times when a great verse like John 3:16 is just kind of going out of favor for "judge not." But really, it's not completely true, because I don't think most people know how to quote this entire verse. I think it's really just two words: "judge not." And then they don't know anything about the rest of the verse or the context or the verses after that. Now, go to John chapter 7. John 7. Now, we have 4 points here today, but the points are all going to be toward the end of the sermon. I'm going to show you a lot of verses about judging because there's so much confusion in 2024. And what I would say is, if it's always wrong to judge no matter what, then why is it God set up a system of government with judges being the ones that would judge in matters? And there's a book of the Bible called Judges. Right? So the Bible does not teach that it is always wrong to judge. Now, many times, God or Jesus will condemn how somebody's judging, but that doesn't mean it's always wrong to judge no matter what the situation. Now, John chapter 7, verse 21. John 7, verse 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" So basically, they're criticizing Jesus for healing someone on the Sabbath day. And he's saying, well, if somebody's eighth day happens to be on the Sabbath day, you will circumcise them so the law is not broken. Because the Bible says 8 days old for the circumcision of a male child in the Old Testament. And he's saying, you know, you're basically being hypocrites. You have unrighteous judgment. Verse 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Now, does this verse say that it's wrong to judge no matter what? No, he says, actually, judge righteous judgment. He said, you should judge, but you should do it in the proper way. He's saying, you're judging unrighteously. You're judging in the wrong way. But what he's not saying is, never judge no matter what, right? Turn your Bible to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. And it's such a foolish thing to say, because every single person judges in every situation they come to in life. I mean, when you see somebody in a situation, you're going to have opinions, at least in the back of your head, about something. All of us form judgments. The difference is, we admit that, yes, we do judge. We're not shy or afraid to admit that, because the Bible says, hey, there is a time to judge, and there is a way to judge. And so, look, don't tell me, when people criticize us and say, hey, your church is too hateful, your pastor's too mean, it's like, hey, man, the Bible says judge not. That's what they come out with us. It's like, well, why are you judging me? Right. You're criticizing me and condemning me for being too judgmental. Well, why are you judging me? Right. Because if you're going to be consistent and that was really your opinion, you know what you would do? You just keep it completely to yourself. Right. But they're being complete hypocrites when they say that. Romans chapter 2. Actually, look back at Romans 1 to the last verse, because this is a little bit tricky. So let me show this to you. Romans 1 verse 32. And the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And Romans 1 is the famous chapter where you have people that reject God, they hold the truth in unrighteousness, they profess themselves to be wise, and they go down this spiral of depravity and sin and wickedness. And then it says here in verse 32, it says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." What it's saying is, the homosexuals, which is the context here, they know the judgment of God. Because they're not ignorant about what the Bible says. It says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know what the Word of God says, but they know the judgment of God. Not only do they do these things, but they take pleasure when everybody else goes down that road of being depraved and wicked like them. I mean, to the person that is pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And for us, when something horrible happens, it will grieve us. It will make us sad. But you know what? It makes the LGBT happy. They want to see this wickedness take place. And look, the Bible says they're full of murder. That means when they see that someone gets killed, it doesn't make them sad. It actually makes them happy. That's what's in their minds. That's what's in their hearts. They want to see people commit sins and do wickedness, the Bible says. But then it says in Romans 2, verse 1, it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. O man is not referring to a member of the LGBT. It says, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. What he's referring to in verse 1 is the person that would look at Vice Pongit and say, man, that guy's going to hell because he has not repented of all his sins. Look at how bad he is. But me, I go to church every week. I read the Bible. I don't drink, so I'm going to heaven. And what the Bible's saying here, Paul's saying, hey, you do a lot of the same things as them. And so you're not going to escape the judgment of God. It's like if you say that they're condemned and guilty because of their sins, well, you are also condemned and guilty. But then it says this in verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So you've got three different groups that are mentioned. Romans 1:32 is the LGBT member. Romans 2:1 is this hypothetical to an unsaved person. And then Romans 2, verse 2, we, who is the we referring to? Us that are saved. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. See, here's the difference. I can get up and scream and preach against Vice Pongi because I'm not a homo and also because I'm not trusting in my works to get to heaven. I can say he's condemned to hell and anyone trusting their works is going to go to hell. But here's the thing. I'm not trusting in my works, so I'm not a hypocrite. Even if I am also guilty of some of the things from time to time, like being envious or being covetous, like all of us are from time to time, but that does not make you a hypocrite. You say, why? Because you're not trusting in your works to get to heaven. If you believe salvation is by grace through faith, and you say that, you know, someone trusting their works is on their way to hell, you're not a hypocrite. I've heard it said before, well, if you're living in sin, you can't really go soul winning because then you'd be a hypocrite. Well, what I teach people when I go soul winning is faith alone for salvation. If I was teaching repentance of sins, I would be a hypocrite. But that's not what I'm preaching door to door. Now, if you're a hypocrite going soul winning, I would like to know what you're saying out door to door. And we're going to need to talk about that. Maybe this is not the right church for you. But if you believe salvation is by grace through faith, no works involved in salvation, you are never a hypocrite when you go out soul winning. You say, why? Because you're teaching people to believe on Christ just like you believe on Christ, right? And so we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Paul says, look, you're looking at other people and saying, well, you can't drink alcohol and go to heaven, and yet you're also guilty of breaking sins all the time, and you're justifying yourself. It's like you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Because last I checked, my Bible said it wasn't just murderers that go to hell. It says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, meaning one lie is enough to condemn you to hell. So here's the thing, if one lie is enough to condemn me to hell, I would be a hypocrite and foolish to condemn somebody else for not being good enough to go to heaven when I am also guilty myself. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. And here's the thing, when we get up and say what the Bible says or go out soul winning, we're not really the ones that are making the judgments. You say, why? Because God's the one that wrote this book. It's not like we have to figure out, well, what do you think that the solution should be in this situation? Well, it doesn't matter what I think or what you think. What matters is what does God think? Right. Because God is the one that the Bible says is the just judge. All we are doing is just looking at what God says and say, thus saith the Lord, this is the answer in that situation, right? So it's not that it's always wrong to judge. It's about judging in the proper or correct way. Turn in your Bible to Romans 14. Romans 14. Anyway, usually when people criticize churches like ours or preachers that get up and preach the truth, oh, you're too hateful. You're always judging. You know what that really means? That they probably have a lot of sins and they want to hide in darkness. Right. I mean, isn't that what it says right after John 3:16, where it talks people that are doing evil deeds, they want to hide from the light. They want to be in darkness. They don't want the light to be shined in on their sins because they're living a wicked life. See, if I were to get up here and preach that, hey, you know what? It's a sin to drink alcohol. If you don't drink alcohol, it's not going to bother you. Right. It's not going to offend you. But what if you are guilty? Then all of a sudden, that kind of hits to the inside of you, doesn't it? And look, we all have sermons where it steps on our toes a little bit because we're not perfect on things. We're guilty. It's a matter of what we do. But here's the thing. What I'm saying is people that are saying, well, you're too judgmental. You're too hateful. Why are you always preaching against sin? Look, if you were living a clean life, you would be happy I was preaching against sin. Amen. I mean, look, for those of us that are parents, that are raising young children, I mean, you're glad that I'm getting up and preaching against sin. You say, why? Because even if you made mistakes in the past, you don't want your kids doing the same. You want your kids to do a better and live a better life than you did. That's the way that I feel with my kids. I want them not to make some of the mistakes I made when I was growing up. And look, if you're right with God, it's not going to bother you when I'm getting up and preaching against sin. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 1. Romans 14, verse 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, what this verse means is, doubtful disputations is basically somebody coming in and giving disputes or arguments. And the Bible's saying we ought to receive people into our church that are baby Christians, but if they're bringing in arguments and want to fight, it's kind of like, well, we need to have peace in our church. We need to be united as a church. Those that are weak in the faith, we receive, and it doesn't mean they believe everything we do or they know everything the Bible says. But if they're coming in bringing arguments, well, then there's a line in the sand where it's like, this is what the church teaches. This is what we believe. It's like, no, you can't just go around and tell people all these doctrines that we disagree with, right? Then it says this in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak is a vegetarian. Another who is weak, I was just giving the modern translation, right, into the modern English. Another who is weak eateth herbs, right? Doesn't eat meat, basically is what it's saying. Now, let me say this. This is not about being physically weak, but if you don't eat any meat, you're going to be physically weak also. I mean, meat's actually given by God to give us strength. I mean, we need the protein in our bodies. And in this specific situation, God is actually telling us who is right and who is wrong. So who is right in this situation, the vegetarian or the person that says we can eat all things? The person that says we can eat all things. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. If you say, well, I'm a vegetarian, that's fine. We receive those that are weak in the faith. You're wrong. And I say that without holding back because I'm reading the verses. I'm just expounding it to you. Now, I act very friendly to people. If after the service you say, I'm a vegetarian, I'll be like, well, no problem. It's great to have you here. You know, it's not going to bother me. I'm not going to try to force you to eat meat or whatever, nor should any of us. But it's very clear in this one who's right and who's wrong. The person that's a vegetarian is wrong. The person that says we can eat all things, they're the one that's correct. But those that are weak in the faith are those that say, well, you know what, just eat plants. Verse number 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And so the basic idea is this, that, you know what, if you have two different people and they disagree on what their diets are or what to eat, but they both pray and ask God to bless the food that they eat, and they're both obeying God's commandments, you know what? God is not mad at the person just because they're off on a doctrine. Right. And look, the truth is, probably a lot of us have different diets of things we do eat or things we don't eat for various purposes. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. People have different diets. You can eat whatever you want. That's perfectly fine. And, you know, we shouldn't look down on people that have a different standard than us. I mean, if somebody says, well, you know what, I don't eat any meat, I mean, we shouldn't look down on them and think, well, you know, you're a bad person or whatever because, you know, they're a vegetarian. On the contrary, if you're someone who says, well, I don't think that you should eat this, it's just like, well, don't go around and tell everybody why they're wrong. Right? Like, if you think it's a sin to drink caffeine, don't go and just be rude to people that are drinking coffee. Right? Just let them do whatever they want. Right? Bible says in verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So the Bible's saying here, I mean, who are you to judge somebody else? Now, it's not a matter of judging whether or not they're right or wrong in the doctrine. Do you see that? If someone says it's wrong to eat meat, they are wrong. That's not what the Bible says. But it would be wrong for me to judge that person and say, well, I don't think this person's a godly person, this person's a wicked person, just because of this one thing. That would be wrong. So it's not wrong to judge in any situation. It's a matter of doing it properly, the Bible says. He gives another example. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I like to celebrate holidays. I celebrate primarily Christmas and Easter, but also other holidays. But if you say, well, I'm against that, or I don't like to do that, that's fine. You don't have to celebrate holidays if you don't want. If you say, well, it's pagan, so I think it's wrong, I don't agree with you, but let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Or you say, Pastor, I know that we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore, but I think that I should try to have one day set aside for God. You know, that's fine. I think that's great if you're able to do it. That's not what I choose to do, but if that's what you do, then great. Nothing wrong with that, right? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, the Bible says. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So look, if you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm taking this day off, my once a week, my version of the Sabbath or whatever in 2024, and I'm going to devote it to God and I ask God to bless my day, praise God. If somebody else, though, wakes up and asks God to bless their day and they go out to work or whatever, praise God also. Or if somebody prays and asks for a blessing on the food they eat, regardless of what they choose to eat or choose not to eat, God hears the prayer, they're giving thanks to God, and God will bless them for doing that. Go in the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look, you know, one place where people can kind of get a misunderstanding, you know, you hear me up here preaching sermons, you might think that when I step aside from the pulpit, I'm just like looking around and just trying to judge everyone for everything. Ah, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. Personally, I have, you know, plenty of things to worry about. I'm married with 3 kids. So it's like I'm more concerned about, especially because Ezra likes to wander, you know, making sure, you know, that we have our kids taken care of. I don't care what you do in your personal life. Do whatever you want. If you hear me preach against rock music and you go out and listen to, I was going to say AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, I don't know what the rock is today. Go ahead and do whatever you want. Now, it's wrong. God's not going to bless you. It's not going to make you happy, but you can do whatever you want with what I preach. That's fine, right? I'm not worried outside of the pulpit what people do in their personal lives. You can do whatever you want. And I would say for all of us, just kind of worry about your own backyard, right? Clean your own house, clean your own kitchen before you worry about other people's kitchen. That's true for 99% of situations. Now, you're turning to 1 Corinthians 2, but if you remember when Moses, you know, judged between the two Hebrews when he was 40 years old, and then the one person criticized, and what he said is, who made thee a ruler and a judge? You know what the answer to that question is? God. God made Moses a ruler and a judge. Because, and this is Stephen referring back to the story, because the next verse said, This Moses, when they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer. And so the first judge you have in the Bible is actually who? Moses. He's the first judge that you actually see in the Bible. But you see this person, well, who are you to judge me? Who made you a ruler and a judge? And you know what? When people say that about pastors in 2024, it's like people that have been ordained properly and biblically and have the Spirit of God upon them, who are you to judge me? Who made you a ruler and a judge? God. So if you got a problem with it, take it up with God. That's what I would say. And so when people are criticizing, why are you so judgmental? What it usually shows is a problem in their own heart. It usually shows a problem with their own sins and their own lifestyle, why they are just so sensitive to somebody getting up and preaching against stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual never judges anything for any reason. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Now when he says, yet he himself is judge of no man, what he's saying here is that basically God is the one who's the ultimate judge, and that's true. You're serving God, you're doing right. Somebody gets up and says, well, who are you to be a judge and a ruler? It's kind of like, well, you can say whatever you want, but it comes down to God making the judgment on my life. And God being the one that gives out rewards for what you do in this life. But if you're a spiritual person, the Bible says you will judge all things. You'll have opinions about everything. Now, it doesn't mean you always voice your opinion, but here's the thing. If you know what the Word of God says and situations come up, you can't help but just think, well, I mean, in Exodus chapter 17, I think it gives us the answer for that. Right? I mean, you're going to judge all things. It's like, well, you know, what's your opinion about, like, if this person committed murder, it's like, I'm trying to figure out, should they get the death penalty or not? Well, I mean, immediately as a Christian, it ought to be like, well, yes, they should, because thus saith the Lord. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Right? Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now realize that in between 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 4, you've got 1 Corinthians 3, which has the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ being mentioned. So he talks about this idea of judging quite a bit in these chapters. And he says in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now look, when it comes to the rewards that people are going to get at the judgment seat of Christ, none of us have any idea who's going to get how many rewards. I mean, we have a room full of people that go soul winning every week. We have a room full of people that read the Bible. We have a room full of people that are trying to serve God and do right. I don't stand up here and have this opinion, well, I'm going to get more rewards than anybody because I'm the pastor. I have no idea. Paul even speaks about, I can't even judge myself. It's like, I'm going to find out myself how many rewards I get at the judgment seat of Christ. And the thing is, somebody could maybe be going soul winning a lot and reading the Bible a lot, but you don't know the reason for doing it. Because God's going to make manifest the counsels of the hearts. He's going to show what's on the inside. And if somebody's doing something for the wrong reason, guess what? They're not going to get a lot of rewards. And so I can't stand up here and make judgments, well, this person's going to get more than this person. Now, I can say this, if somebody never reads the Bible and never goes to church and never goes soul winning and doesn't obey God's commandments at all, yeah, they're not getting a lot of rewards. What I'm saying is, if somebody's doing a lot for God, I still don't know because you don't know what's inside the heart. And you know what the kind of scary thing is that we don't even know about our own hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right. Now, you can see through your actions. It can kind of help reveal to you what your heart is like. But really, none of us actually know for sure how many rewards we are going to get or are not going to get. So the Bible's saying, hey, judge nothing before the time because you don't really know. right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's the chapter where it talks about church discipline. And there's major sin inside the church. And it says here in verse 12, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." And what the Bible is saying is that inside of a local church, there are times when church discipline takes place and people have to be judged for their sins. And people are removed from the local church. I mean, we've had people kicked out of our church before. You say, well, what's your opinion about those people now? Well, them that are without, God judgeth. It's up to God. We judge those within, and now that they're out of the church, it's like, well, it's up to God. Right? But the Bible's saying very clearly here that you are to judge those that are within. So there's a list of various sins where people, if they're guilty, would be removed from the local church. And so if somebody's guilty of one of these sins, well, you know, who am I to judge? And here's the truth. At a lot of Baptist churches, you know what you see? It's like they have these big kids programs and kids grow up in the church. And then you'll see a lot of young girls getting pregnant when they're teenagers. And the church does nothing about it. Nothing about it. It's known in the church. People are committing fornication. Nothing is ever done about it. And what I would say to them is, do not ye judge them that are within? I mean, why wouldn't you make a judgment when the Bible specifically tells you? Now, of course, it's not the job of the individual church member, but it is my job on situations. And if somebody's guilty of a sin and the Bible says it, that you're removed out of church, that's the way it is. Well, you're so judgmental. Well, I'm not the one that made the rule.
Right.
I'm just enforcing the rule. I'm more like a policeman, right? I'm not really like a judge. I'm like a policeman, right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I mean, literally, at most Baptist churches, they will never kick you out of that church for any reason under the sun unless you believe in a post-trib rapture. That's like the only reason they would ever kick you out of church. It's like, oh, wait a minute, we heard that they're like a new IFB person. It's like, we got to remove them. Right? I mean, this is, I'm being a bit facetious, but this is honestly true at a lot of churches. They will never kick anybody out for any reason. Doesn't matter what the sin is, doesn't matter how bad or how grievous, doesn't matter if the person's trying to deal with the situation, they just let them stay in church and nothing ever takes place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. So in 1 Corinthians 5, he's saying you should be judging the situation. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's a situation where they're not judging at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." Now when he says those that are least esteemed in the church, you know, what he's basically saying is this. If nobody wants to get up and judge, one thing I can promise you is someone that's saved could make a better judgment than a corrupt judge in this world could make. And that's true. Even if you know very little about the Bible, you've never read it cover to cover, but you're saved and you know just a little bit about the Bible, you're going to do a better job than just famous judges in this world. Because at least you're saved and at least you're using this as your final authority, or at least you should be, on what to do in situations. Verse 5, "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." And Paul is criticizing them, saying, there's nobody in church that is able to judge in the situation. Not a single person. So according to what we've seen so far, does it seem like it's always wrong to judge no matter what? Does it seem like the Bible says just judge not no matter what the situation, never judge for any reason? No, actually, Paul says you should judge in certain situations. And he says, isn't there anybody in the church that can judge in this situation? But you won't judge inside the house of God, but then you're going to go to a lawyer or a courtroom and have them judge in your situation. Right? It doesn't make any sense. Right? Go back to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. That was the introduction. Okay, I had to go quickly because we got to start the sermon now. Okay? As I said, we got 4 points. They're all going to be toward the end of the sermon. Right? But look, I mean, there's so much confusion about judging in 2024. I mean, I think most of you already are aware of the things I preach. Like, yeah, of course we should judge in situations. But in 2024, there's this attitude from churches, we should never judge, you know, never say anything negative, never criticize, never hurt anybody's feelings. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to walk, you know, like there's eggshells or glass on the ground here that I got to avoid while I'm preaching. Right. I'm going to preach the Bible. And yeah, you know what? Sometimes maybe it doesn't come out as nicely as it could, but just, you know, deal with it. Right. It's like if you're guilty, it's like it doesn't change the fact if I could have said it in a nicer way. It doesn't change the fact if you're guilty, fix it. Right. Spiritual surgery hurts, doesn't it? That's what preaching is like. It is like spiritual surgery that hits to the inside. You know what? I'm pretty sure that when you go through surgery, it never really feels that good. When I had surgery on my knee, it, you know, and I was out, right? You know, they put whatever so I wasn't awake during it. But it's like I woke up, and it's like once the pain medication went off, it's pretty painful. You know why? Because surgery hurts, right? Point number one, God will judge you by your standard. God will judge you by the standard you use to judge other people. Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, when he talks about measuring, he's putting this idea inside of your head, like cooking, for example. Like you're measuring out, you know, one cup of flour, or, you know, 2 teaspoons of salt or whatever. And what he's saying is, depending on how much that you get out and measure, the same is going to come back to you. Right? So, for example, you put in more ingredients, you're going to get more cookies at the end or whatever you like to bake, right? Or whatever your wife likes to bake or whatever, right? I don't know much about cooking. I would just say make sure that it's sugar and not salt if the recipe says sugar. Just because they're both white, it's not going to taste the same, okay? I know from personal experience, but go to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. But with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So here's the thing. If I am super strict with people in terms of how they live their lives, like, can you believe that person, you know, didn't read the Bible for 30 minutes this morning? It's like, okay, if you want to be that strict, that's fine. God's going to look at you the same way. You better make sure you're reading the Bible a lot every single day then and never miss your Bible reading. Right. I personally don't like to be that strict because although I do preach, you need to read the Bible every day and I try my best. I mean, sometimes maybe I don't get in 30 minutes of Bible reading. I can't say I've read the Bible every single day since I've been saved. And so for me personally, it's like I don't want to be that strict on people's lives. I preach what the Word of God says, but just because people make mistakes, man, I would never do that. I'd be very careful about having that sort of attitude because if you're very strict with others, God's going to be strict also with you. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, this is a parallel passage. Luke 6, verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Luke 6, verse 36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Right after he says, be merciful. We ought to be long-suffering and compassionate and merciful to other people. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. So think about, for example, you've got your cup of flour, and you press it down to make sure that it's like perfectly one cup or whatever. And shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So look, if you're an unforgiving person, hey, that's fine. God's not going to be that forgiving to you if you need forgiveness someday, right? Verse 39, And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now go back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. So point number one, God will judge based on how strict your standard is with other people. Number two, you are foolish to judge people for things they're guilty of if you're guilty of bigger things than that. If you've got something major in your life going on that's wrong, and then you're looking down on someone, did you see she wasn't quite dressed right? It's like if you've got much bigger things, more skeletons in your closet, it's like worry about the skeletons in your closet. Right. It says here in Matthew 7, verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Well, the analogy he's giving is you have something massive sticking right there in your eye. And it's like, let me just get that, you know, little eyelash that's by your eye. It's kind of like you've got something much bigger that you need to worry about. It's like, you know, worry about yourself and something much more major than something a lot smaller than what you're dealing with. You know, you could look at people that, let's say they're on trial for murder. They're guilty of murder. And they'd be like, well, you know what? I heard that so-and-so, you know, stole money from a 7-Eleven. I would never do that. Can you believe that? It's like you killed somebody. What are you talking about? It's like what you did was far worse. But here's the reality. When people try to pick apart other people's lives and find all their flaws, usually they've got much bigger things in their own life. And it's like, why don't you just worry about what you're struggling with rather than worrying about other people? Look, when the preaching goes out in the Word of God, don't have this attitude of thinking about, well, brother so-and-so needed that sermon. And yet you've got much bigger things in your life that you don't have right. You know, I think it's something, a lesson that every preacher learns. I remember when I was preaching in Sacramento, and I didn't specifically write sermons for specific people, but, you know, you'd write sermons, and sometimes in the back of your head, there's certain people at the church you know this could probably be helpful for them. And it was comical how those same people would come up to you after the sermon and thank you for the sermon, and say, that was great, brother so-and-so, they needed to hear that. And it's just like, I failed as a preacher. I retire. I quit. I'm done. And it's like, and look, I'm telling you, it is without fail. Like, I remember when I preached a sermon on Bible reading, all the people that read the Bible zealously are like, man, I needed to hear that. And then the people that don't read the Bible much, it's like, man, that was a good sermon, you know. So-and-so, they didn't really read the Bible much. You know what? It's like, what are you talking about? Point number one, God will judge by your standard. So if you're very strict with other people, be ready for God to be strict with you. If you're unforgiving, unmerciful to other people, then God's going to be the same way to you. Point number two, you are foolish if you have bigger flaws and bigger problems if you're looking down on people that have much smaller things that are not as big as what you're dealing with. Point number three, you are not going to be able to pull out and fix the problem in somebody else if you've got massive problems yourself. Notice what it says in Matthew 7, verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. And so the way I like to think about this is, you know, I like to think of like an eyelash. You know, for example, sometimes with my kids, they'll have like an eyelash by their eye, or they'll have the morning glory, and, you know, maybe it doesn't bother you, it bothers me, so I always want to, like, you know, remove it. And so, yeah, that's something very small, right? But what if I had something massive in my own eye, and I can't even see? It's like, well, let me help you get that eyelash there. I'm going to poke him in the eye. It's not going to work. Or I think to myself, you know, like right now I'm wearing contacts because, you know, makapal on glasses call, right? You can see, I don't know if you can see, if you're close, maybe you can. They're very thick. I started wearing glasses when I was like 10 years old. I'm legally blind without glasses or contacts. I can't see. So when I wake up in the morning, you know what? I can't see at all until I put my glasses on. And so what I have to do, if I don't have glasses or contacts or whatever, if you try to see, what you do is this. This is the secret. And for those that have bad vision, you probably know what I'm saying. You make a little peephole and you can see a little bit better, right? Look, if I'm not wearing glasses or contacts, I don't think my kids want me to try to pull out an eyelash out of their eye. It's like, I want to be like this trying to see. It's like, all right, well, let me try to get that there, right? It's not going to work. And what I'm saying is, and what the Bible's trying to give the example, if you've got major problems in your own life, not only is it foolish to worry about somebody else, but you can't even fix the problem. You cannot remove the eyelash. You can't remove the morning glory. You're not going to know how to do it. Even if you bring it up, you're probably going to be obnoxious and rude, and it's not going to work. I mean, if you're removing something from someone's eye, you know what? You got to be careful. You don't just go in and just, you know, just try to rip it out. It doesn't work that way. You got to be careful. And I'm telling you, the person that is unspiritual, they will not be able to help out somebody that's actually really struggling and needs help. It's going to be the person that's spiritual, that is living a godly life, that can actually fix the problems. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. See, that's where people are going to miss it if they've got major sins in their life. They're not going to have meekness. They're going to be obnoxious and rude. And you know what sometimes takes place? That if you approach someone with the wrong attitude, it's going to cause them to rebel and do the opposite of what you say because of the way that you approach them. And so if you're trying to help somebody out, you don't be rude and obnoxious to them. You actually do it in the spirit of meekness, the Bible says. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But the key is that you're spiritual. So here's the thing. If you've got a beam in your eye, you've got major sins in your life, it's like, don't go trying to fix other people's problems. You're not going to be able to help. Now look, if there's people that are guilty of things much worse and you're a friend of them, you might be able to come along and help them out if you're spiritual, but if you're not spiritual, you're not going to be able to help. That's what the Bible's saying. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And so look, when people stand up and they criticize a church like ours, because I'm sure if you've got Catholic relatives and they know about our church, they've looked us up online or whatever, they probably don't like me very much, and that's fine. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. It is what it is. But here's the thing. It's like, you know, usually when people get up and criticize churches and pastors for preaching the Word of God, let's say hypothetically they were correct that I'm too harsh. And I'm too hateful. Now, I don't think I'm too hateful, but if I'm slightly overboard or whatever, here's the thing. Is a person that's ungodly and wicked the one that's going to be able to come around and help me to see things properly? No, they're not. Because they've got much bigger things they need to worry about. They've got much bigger fish to fry themselves than worrying about, well, you know, he was hateful. It's like, you're a homo, and then you're worried about me being a little bit too overboard in your mind. It's like, I'm pretty sure that you've got major sins that unfortunately you're not going to be able to deal with or fix. But it's just like, and then you're going to come and criticize me for my sermon. Like, wow, he didn't have to say pongi. He could have said ganda. He could have said vice ganda instead of vice pongi. And if that's what you think, fine. I don't care. It's like vice pongi. I mean, he's a very ugly man, woman, whatever. So that's what I call him. Especially, you know, you see his infomercials everywhere and the billboards everywhere. It's like you can't help but just make you mad when you see that all the time. They're like, well, I think you're a little bit too harsh. Fine, you're welcome to your opinion. I don't think you should judge people. Okay, judge not. You hold yourself to the same standard. Quit judging me then. Right? Point number one, God will judge you by your standards. So depending on how strict you are with other people, God's going to be that strict with you. Point number two, you are foolish to judge if you've got bigger flaws. Because God's going to judge you by the same standard. And if you are super critical and looking down on people for not being dressed appropriately, okay, but God's going to be that strict with you. And I would say, make sure you're reading the Bible quite a bit every day. Make sure you're memorizing the Bible, because honestly, you probably got bigger things to worry about in your own life than the way somebody else is dressed. Point number three, you cannot pull out if you've got the wrong vision. I mean, if you've got major sins in your life, you're not going to be able to see clearly, the Bible says, to fix somebody else's problems. But lastly, cleanse yourself before worrying about other people. The Bible says this in verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So the Bible says, first get rid of your problems, and then you can actually see clearly. You won't have double vision, and then you can actually help somebody else out. So look, if you say, well, Pastor, I just want to help people out. People have various problems in their life. Okay, step number one, read your Bible for at least 30 minutes every day. Make sure you're spending time in prayer. Make sure you're going soul winning. Make sure you're obeying God's commandments. Make sure you're doing those things, because otherwise you're not going to be able to see clearly. You're not going to be able to approach in the spirit of meekness and actually help people. And look, yeah, it's a good thing if you can help somebody deal with situations in their life, but usually the people that are trying to help everybody else's problems in life usually have a lot of their own problems that they're not dealing with themselves. Is it wrong to judge all the time, no matter what? Absolutely not. The Bible commands us to judge. But the Bible also commands us to judge righteous judgment. Do it in the right way and the proper way. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see this topic on judging. And help us to be people that judge all things, because we are spiritual. We are serving you. We're doing right, God. Help us to all just have a personal walk with you, God. And let us not get sucked into this lie from the world that it's always wrong to judge. It's always wrong to preach against sin. Help us be people that are zealous with preaching the gospel, but also being zealous for your commandments as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.